Hey, everybody. Welcome to the KCC podcast. Today, you'll be hearing from Pastor Anna as she brings a word about joy. It is powerful. She is going after depression in this podcast, and I just encourage you to come with an open heart and mind as she brings a powerful word.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here this morning. I'm really excited to go after what I want to go after today, and that is joy. And I'm going after depression. We're in the middle of the Take Back the Land series. And when I think of that, I literally picture the devil stealing land from people, right? That isn't his, stolen land. And this series to me is all about us going, hang on a second, that doesn't belong to you. That's not yours. I'm taking that back. And something that I've really walked through in my life and my journey is depression. And I hate that thing. My gosh, do I hate that thing? I think it is so demonic. It is of the devil. You were not born with it. It is not who you are. It is not of God. It is not you. And I can say that because I've been through it. So I'm going to be a bit blunt this morning, but remember, I have walked this journey. So I want to go after depression because that thing does not belong in anyone's life. 45% of Australians will experience depression in their lifetime. More than 65,000 Australians attempt suicide each year. 65,000. 3 million Australians live with depression or anxiety. Those are huge numbers. Huge. And that's why I want to go after it. That's why I want to go after it, because it is so rampant in our society. Right? I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story and then we're going to get into it. I was brought up in a Christian home, which was wonderful, but my parents stopped going to church when I was young, about 10 years old. I finished school. I was just talking to Tegan and saying that I finished school in 2007. And I was like, how long is that? Like 10 years ago? 17. I was like, oh, 17 years ago. Holy cow. I finished school in 2007 and I went on to explore a little bit, party a little bit, and a very, very close friend of mine, a very dear friend, one of my best friends, spiked my drink one night and sexually abused me. And that sparked something in me where I didn't know how to handle that kind of grief. I didn't know how to handle that kind of hurt and pain, and I spiraled down into depression and I stayed there, and it got so bad that I ended up trying to take my own life. And thank you, Jesus, that didn't work. By a miracle, my dad found me in the middle of the night, took me to the hospital, got my stomach pumped. I had to stay in hospital for a couple of weeks on suicide watch. And I'm really summarizing this story here. And then I got out of hospital and I realized something. I realized I don't want to die. I actually wanted to live. I was like, that was a lie of the enemy. I want to live. I don't want to die. And I had to make some decisions and changes in my life to be able to walk the walk, go back to church, got God, and that's a whole nother story, got God back in my life. I threw out my alcohol, my cigarettes, I deleted all my friends' numbers because they were bad news, and I got a job and I started to build my life up again. But it is good. It's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to share a little bit later on in my message a bit more of my journey, but sometimes, and most often not, but sometimes we don't see, especially with something like mental health, that healing immediately. It's a journey. Now hear me, that is not because of Jesus. Jesus heals immediately, right? Sometimes it is because of us and our choices, right? And I'm going to speak on that a bit later as well. But the message I'm bringing today is the serious business of joy, because it is life or death sometimes, and it was for me. God, we just pray this morning that even if just one person could have deliverance from depression, from darkness, from grief, Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you will just release that joy in the room right now, Lord. Not even just waiting for the end of the message, but right now, through the worship, God, we were feeling that releasing of your joy. I pray that people will understand what it means that your joy is our strength, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that KCC will be a place where people come in through that door, that the stolen land that has been taken from them, Lord Jesus, will be renewed and restored and healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can be released, Abby. Thank you so much. Awesome. So we're going to be reading from Nehemiah today. I'm really excited about this. I've done a little bit of study into it, and it was really cool what I realized. So before I read the passage, I'm just going to give you a bit of context. So where I'm reading from, the Israelites have all gathered in Jerusalem to hear Ezra read the words of God, the words of the law, okay? So there were thousands of people, many more than there were here today, and they were hearing it for the first time. And this is kind of cool. It has nothing to do with my message, but I thought it was cool. The Levites were like human microphones, so they were running through the crowd and telling people what was being said, what Ezra was saying from the stage. So they were going through and delivering the message because Ezra couldn't obviously yell that far. I don't know if that's cool to you, but I often, like, if I read about Jesus on the Mount, I'm like, how did, like, you know, in Harry Potter, the magic microphone? Like, I'm like, was it something like that? No, that was people. So kind of human microphones. Anyway, it was the first time a lot of them were hearing it. And when they heard the words of the law, they were so convicted that they began to weep and grieve and despair, right? So because they realized that how they'd been living was contrary to how God was wanting them to live. They realized their sin, and they were so shameful and full of despair that they started grieving and weeping. Wow. Nehemiah 8, 9 to 11. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go eat the festival foods, drink the sweet drinks, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Hear me when I say it is not wrong to grieve. Of course it isn't wrong. It is not wrong to be sad. It is not wrong to feel that emotion and have that emotion. But what can happen is we grieve, we're sad, and unknowing how or not wanting to, we stay in that place instead of pulling ourselves through the process and out of it. And we stay in that place in despair, which then leads to being stuck there in depression and in despair, right? See, depression stagnates. It makes you feel like you're stuck. And I say feel like because you're not. That's not the truth. But that is the lie that's being told to you by depression. You cannot get out of this place. You are stuck. It makes you feel hopeless, and it wants you to believe that reality. And here's the catch with depression. It makes you so unmotivated that you feel like you are unable to even make the good decisions that will lead you to freedom. It is just a dark spiral of, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And you choose to stay in bed. You choose to believe the lies because it's often easier. Bill Johnson says, and this is Bill Johnson, I didn't say this, it's arrogance to say if God wants me to have it, he'll just give it to me, right? Bill says sometimes we need to hunt, to pursue, and to position ourselves for God to move. God, heal me, heal me, heal me, do something in me. But then you're just lying in bed all day and watching those bad shows and eating the bad food and not pursuing any friendships, and God's like, I want to help you, but I need you to move. So back to Nehemiah. Who was Nehemiah? Well, in Jerusalem, he was governor, and he was there to help them rebuild the city walls. So they were rebuilding Jerusalem. Ezra was there to rebuild the temple. Nehemiah was there to help rebuild the walls. Now, for 7 years, Nehemiah wasn't there, and for 7 years, they'd been trying to rebuild these walls every day. They'd build a section, and then overnight, their enemies would come and tear it down. And for 7 years, they were trying and trying and trying, and nothing was happening. And then in comes Nehemiah, and he did what they couldn't do in 7 years in 2 months, and those walls were built. And I think that says something about Nehemiah's priorities, and it's a prophetic picture of what we can do with God when we're trying to do something by ourselves and in our own strength, but then we choose to do it with God, the walls can actually get built, right? And if we're looking back at that verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe Nehemiah saw the people despairing when they heard the words of their sin, the words of the law, right? They were despairing. I believe Nehemiah saw them and went, nah, we're not staying here. It's good that you're repenting. It's good that you're feeling conviction and grieving, but we're not staying here. We're going to find the joy of the Lord. And he actually teaches us how to get there. This is the key. Oh, this is good. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I was always like, what does that mean? My middle name is Joy. Micah's middle name is Joy. I love Joy. But what does that verse mean? The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is what I think it means. When you're in a place when you need strength, you won't get it through mourning. You have to experience true joy, something you can't get by yourself, but need God's strength to grace it to you, yeah. Right? We don't need help to be depressed. That's easy, right? It's easy to choose depression. It's easy to choose to stay in a stuck place. What we need help with is getting out of that. That's very hard to do in our own strength. So when we choose joy, when we choose to praise God, to thank God, when we choose to make the choices that bring us up out of that place, that's when God's able to bring us his strength and help us do it. Does that make sense? When I got that, I was like, whoa, that's amazing. Because I have been in depression. And let me tell you, it is so easy to stay there. But it is hard to get out of it. And that's when you need God's strength to get that joy. So what is joy? Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. This is talking about Jesus. Think about this. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And we've just been through Easter and we were talking about what, I'm sure some of you watched The Passion, of course, what Jesus went through, the pain, the physical pain, the mental pain, the suffering he went through. It is saying that he did it all. He could do it all. He could get through it all because he could see the outcome. He could see the joy in the morning. He could see you and say, that is the joy. Nathan James is the joy that I see. So I'm going to endure this, right? The joy in the morning. Rick Warren says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Brad said it before during worship. Joy is not just a feeling. It's not just a smile. It's not just an emotion that's fleeting and then goes away. It's not just, I'm feeling good this morning, so I'm feeling joyful, but tomorrow I might feel bad. Joy is a choice, and it's the choice of having God in your life. It is not subject to circumstances. It is something that we can only access when we understand the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and that will be your strength. That will be your joy. And so I want to talk about quickly, how do we choose joy? Well, first of all, practical ways to overcome depression. Before we get into the spiritual ways, the practical ways, and because I've been here, I'm pretty passionate about this. Number one, get out of bed. It's a huge, huge way because you won't feel like it and you won't want to. Get out of bed when you don't feel like it. Join a gym with people. With friends. If you can't join a gym, go for a walk, get into the sunshine, feel the breeze on your face, look up at the sky, see the trees, look at the ocean, get out of your house. Eat healthy food. It's a spiral because you don't want to get out of bed, and because you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to get up and cook. So you'll order Maccas and then you'll sit in bed and eat your Maccas, and then you'll feel worse because Maccas, the ingredients in it, actually, do you know that 90% of what's going on in your gut affects your mental health? 90%. So everything that you're eating is affecting your brain health, right? It's crazy. So eat healthy, get outside, listen to worship music, watch only uplifting TV. Post reminders around your house. This helped me so much. Little sticky notes that say, you know, there is hope. You have a future. I'd be brushing my teeth and I was like, oh, that's right. I have a future. I'm good. Because you constantly, that narrative is going around in your head. See a counselor. I love counselors, Christian counselors. I've seen a lady for a really, really long time and she is incredible at doing the bit that maybe I can't see and speaking into the place that I can't see and giving me practical tools to get out of it. Thanks. Now, you won't want to do any of the above, but if you choose to do it, you will start to see changes in your life and you will start to see freedom. I'll get the band up now, actually. Now I want to talk about two specific ways to choose joy. So we've talked about what is joy, we've talked about practical ways of overcoming depression, and I want to talk about two ways we can choose joy, because that is hard. That is so hard to do when you're in a place of grief, is to choose praise and to choose joy. First of all, point one, pouring out. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, then he said to them, go eat the festival foods, drink the sweet drinks and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. What is he saying there? He's saying you're in deep grief and what I want you to do is go in and give to other people. Depression, and please don't be offended by this because I've been there, depression is a self-focused, selfish thing. Because it teaches you and it wants you to only look at yourself. I'm feeling abandoned. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling hopeless. I'm feeling despair. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'm not doing that thing because of me, 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 me. A lot of mental health is this way, right? And Nehemiah is saying, here's a tool to get out of your despair and grief and turn your eyes to Jesus. And that is to give out to people. I want to read you a quick story. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, I might be saying that wrong, but we'll just pretend it's okay. He was a Polish Franciscan friar who was arrested by the Nazis and sent to Auschwitz in 1941 for his anti-Nazi activities and his support for Jewish refugees. In July of 1941, a prisoner from his barracks escaped, and the camp authorities decided to punish the remaining prisoners by selecting 10 men to be starved to death in an underground bunker as a deterrent for future escapees. One of the chosen men cried out in despair, lamenting that his family and loved ones, he would never see them again. Upon hearing this, this guy, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, volunteered to take his place. The camp authorities accepted his offer and he joined the other 9 men in the starvation bunker. Listen to this. In the bunker, Kolbe led the men in prayers and hymns, providing them with spiritual support and comfort as they faced death. Kolbe was the last of the 10 men to die, passing away on August 14th, 1941. There is power in sacrifice. There is power. Let me tell you, he was starving himself. He was suffering himself. Probably he was despairing. He was probably like battling against this God. Why has this happened to us? Why has this happened to me? And his choice in that moment wasn't to stay there in his depression, but to go, no, 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 I'm going to sing hymns and I'm going to help the other men feel not happy, but joy and give them strength in the last moments of our life together. He poured out. There is something incredibly important that Nehemiah was trying to get across. Go eat the festival foods, drink the sweet drinks, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. Don't stay there in your depression. Point number two. So we've poured out. That's how we choose joy. Another way is pouring up. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Remember I said in the beginning of my message, I was talking about my story, my testimony. I said there's a little bit more to come. So I'd given my life back to God. I came to church. I met Fred. I met Caleb. I met Nathan. I met Jesse. I met all these people. It was wonderful. My life was going really, really well. I was in a great place. And then a few years later, we weren't married yet. We were still dating. Depression hit me again in my life out of nowhere. And I was so blindsided by it. I was like, this depression is back. I thought we'd beat it, God, and I thought you took it from me and rah, 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 rah. What was I doing though? I was lying on my couch feeling very, very sorry for myself because it is a really hard thing to go through. I am not belittling that at all. It is very hard to go through. And I was attaching it to myself. I was saying things to Fred like, it's genetic. It's like it runs, it does. It's all throughout my family. My dad had severe depression while I was growing up, so I'm not surprised that I'm having to deal with this. It's just probably my struggle, you know, for life. This is probably just something that I'll have to battle against over and over. You know, but that's okay. I've beat it before. You know, I'll be okay. I'll get there. You know, one day I was lying on my couch. No one was home. And I was lying on my couch and TV wasn't on. I was just unmotivated, just depressed, just lying there. And I was a bit angry with God. And I was like, God, please, I don't want to feel this way anymore. Can you help me? And he said, yeah, I can. I said, okay, great, help me. And he said, okay, I will, but you need to get up and dance. If anyone here has battled with depression or is battling with depression, you know that is the last thing in the world that you want to do is to get up off that couch or up off that bed and to dance and praise and sing your way out of it. It is, you feel like it's almost physically impossible. And I told God that. I said, no, that's not possible. I'm not doing that. I have nothing, no energy whatsoever. And he just kept saying, get up and praise me. Get up and thank me. Get up and dance. Put some worship music on. And it took a while. It took like a while. And I eventually did. I got up and I put some worship music on. I was not feeling it whatsoever. But I started to sing. And I started to move. And I started to move around. And I started to pace up and down. And I started to jump. And I started to praise, and I started to realize that I was starting to feel something shift in me. And I started to realize that something was changing. And I started to feel this joy bubble up inside of my spirit and inside of my heart. And I realized that it was my choice. It was my choice that God's strength was there for me, that God's healing and breakthrough was right there for me. But I had to step into it. I had to say, God, I'm going to get up off this couch every time I have this feeling, and I'm going to thank you for my healing, and I'm going to thank you for my breakthrough, and I'm going to choose joy again because you are a good God. And I, if you can stand this morning, I tell you, you might be here this morning and saying, but I'm in the middle of my grief. You have no idea what's been happening in my life, Anna. You have no idea what I've been through this week. Let me tell you, God can meet you in your grief. Okay, it is not wrong to be sad. It is not wrong to have emotions and to process those. But when you stay in that place of despair, what you're saying is, God, you can't help me. I choose despair. God, you're not bigger than this, but He is. He is bigger than what you've been going through. He is bigger than your situation. He is bigger than your depression. He is bigger than your anxiety. And so what we're gonna do this morning with the last few minutes that we have left, I'm not gonna pray for anyone. If you want prayer, you can ask for it, but I want you to come to the front to praise God. I want you to come to the front to worship and dance. And let me tell you this morning, if you are standing there right now going, I don't feel like doing that, that means it's for you. That means it's for you. If you're standing there going, I can't get out of my seat, I can't dance, I'm going through it, that means it's for you, right? If you're here this morning, you're like, I don't have depression, that doesn't matter. Come and dance. Why? Because we need to praise for the other people in our life that need it. We need to praise the Lord for our family members that need it. Come on, come forward. I'm going to as well. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope that that message blessed you. And I pray that wherever you are, you feel encouraged to take back the land in your own life and circumstances. Be blessed.